You are back recording at 11:05 a.m.
All right. So moving down to the initial reviews, case number 19-39, Drew Giardina, physical therapist. Drew, you're here still, right?
And Mr. Giardina, are you, you're being represented by Ms. McLellan, correct?
Correct.
And Ms. McLellan, you are present, correct?
Correct.
And the complainants, Mr. and Mrs. Richardson, they are present or are present? Is that correct?
He's on mute.
I have confirmation that, this is Mindy, I have confirmation that he's present.
Yeah, I can see him, it's just his mic's on mute.
Okay, and we'll refer to them as Mr. and Mrs. R, please.
Okay. All right. This is an initial review, so it's been different than all the others we've had, okay? So, Mr. Giardina, or your attorney, would you like to make a statement?
Would you like a case summary first?
Yes, thank you very much, I would.
Okay. Complaint 1939 was opened. It was a patient, SR, alleged substandard care when Mr. Giardina injured his right arm during his physical therapy treatments. I will note for the board that I made an omission in the investigative report that Mr. Giardina and Ms. McLellan had requested a copy of the investigative report and brought to my attention an omission. So I would like to briefly summarize that for their benefit. It has to do with, I received copies of the hand surgeon's clinical notes and diagnostic tests. And I'd like to just inform you that in June of 2019, after SR had terminated his physical therapy treatments with Mr. Giardina, he went back to his physician because of persistent pain and new onset of pain following the surgery. So the report should have indicated that the results of the MRI that were completed in June showed effusion in the lateral area or the area over the surgery. And based on continued symptoms, when he returned to his surgeon, Dr. Frankel determined that he most likely had a failure of his reconstructed lateral collateral ligament. SR underwent additional reconstruction or revision of the reconstruction surgery of the lateral collateral ligament in August. And the notes that I reviewed through the end of 2019 indicated that after his second reconstructive surgery of his lateral collateral ligament, he progressed fairly well with his rehabilitation. And the last note that I received was this November of 2019, where he was still making measurable progress in his rehabilitation. The other thing I would like the board to be aware of, and I believe Karen forwarded to you, that Ms. McLellan submitted a response to the investigative report, which included some resource materials. And I'll highlight that the article that was included by Ms. McLellan and Mr. Giardina is not the same structure nor the same surgical procedure as what was carried out on patient SR. This case is for your review.
Okay. Well, Mr. Giardina, or your attorney, would you like to make a statement?
Yes, thank you. From the investigative report, there were two concerns raised. One was on documentation and one was on the actual clinical therapy of the mobilization technique that was used for therapy. Mr. Giardina will tell you that he has already implemented certain documentation improvements with his patients, and he has taken that information to heart and already started that in his practice. As far as the clinical claim for the mobilization, we do believe that he provided correct care to this patient. I would ask that this article that we submitted be reviewed because it does discuss joint mobilization with the ulnar collateral ligament of the elbow, which is what is at issue here in this case. This is a 2019 article, so we believe it supersedes the information in the investigative report, which is from a 2001 literature. We've also presented for you an orthopedic surgeon's protocol that identifies the use of the technique that Mr. Giardina was doing, and this orthopedic surgeon does utilize that in his practice at, during the same time period of the rehabilitation that Mr. Giardina was doing. Last, I find it kind of interesting in the investigative report that a physician assistant by the last name of Rodart was interviewed in this case. That physician assistant has nothing to do with this surgery. He did not treat the patient for this elbow issue. This physician assistant has been treating this patient for chronic neck and back pain and does medication management with this patient. So with the statements that are highlighted in the investigative report, to me, it looks like this physician assistant really is being used to bolster the credibility of the patient, since he has no direct information about the surgery or treatment that is at issue here. So in response to that, we provided a letter from a physician assistant, Justin Wilcox, who works at the Mayo Clinic in their sports and medicine orthopedic surgery department, which provides you with the opinions that he has of the excellent practice that Mr. Giardino administers to his patients, including his knowledge, his skill, and his clinical experience that he demonstrates with these patients. And this physician assistant has been working with Mr. Giardino and knows him for the past 11 years. And so we think that is worth knowing that Mr. Giardina, is a very professional clinician. And Drew Giardina is here and can answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
If I can just add something real quick, something Ms. McClellan said isn't exactly accurate. The article that Ms. Richardson references is in relationship to the ulnar collateral ligament and is not the same structure that the patient had repaired. I am aware of that. That article was included to show the use of joint mobilization in relationship to early stages of surgery in relationship to the ulnar collateral ligament for the purposes of pain control and stimulating pain receptors. So I just want to clarify that I'm aware that that article is not the same structure.
Thank you.
Or the same procedure.
Correct.
SR had reconstruction of the elbow or the wrist?
The lateral collateral ligament of the elbow.
Okay. So the lateral collateral.
Correct.
Which is not ulnar.
Well, there is an ulnar collateral ligament component of the lateral collateral ligament. That can get a little bit confusing, but this article that I submitted is the medial aspect of the elbow. I'll say that just to make it a little more clear.
Okay. Would RS like to make a statement?
Are they still on mute, Mindy?
Yes, they are.
So if we could request that SR unmute and provide a statement to the board.
I had informed Mr. SR that he was not required or obligated to provide any statements.
Oh, he doesn't have to. Is he going to waive that?
I'm not sure. SR, we're going to need you to just verbally let us know, just because we're audio recording. If you'd like to waive that statement, we just need to have that audio recorded.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I apologize. I'm just not good with this kind of stuff. I just waive it right now. I don't need to say anything.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. So remember, this is an initial review. And so what questions does board members have that it'll help them make a decision what to do?
Mr. Giordani, this is Peggy Hunter. Does your office or practice that you practice in, do you have protocols on file for reference when people with certain surgeries come in?
Yes, we do. I'll admit that for, because this question came up in the investigative aspect as well, I'll admit that I don't have a protocol for the lateral collateral ligament on hand specifically. When I proceeded with my care, I used my experience with treating the elbow, which I have several times, including traumatic dislocations and several ulnar collateral ligament repairs in terms of my vigor and deciding what joint modes to do, what stretching to do, understanding of the anatomy. So, and in looking on since the investigative report and interview, I did a lot of searching online to try to find different protocols for the lateral collateral ligament specific to joint mobilization. And it's a relatively, when it's atraumatic, let's put it that way, it's a relatively infrequent surgery. And so it was kind of hard to find any materials even online for it. But the quick answer to your question is yes, for most conditions, but the honest answer regarding this specific surgical procedure, I do not have that on hand.
Okay. I'm going to leave this mostly to the PTs. I'm a PTA, so I don't do evaluations, et cetera. But in things that I have seen protocols on, it just seems like there's not much of an effort to extend the elbow so soon after that surgery. Is that not correct?
Are you asking me or what's
other? Yes, sir.
Oh, me. Okay.
No, sorry. I'm asking you.
Okay. I would disagree at the point in terms of, you know, at the time we're talking about me having seen him, it was closer to 8 weeks.
Okay.
So, and yes, the question came up when Jeff evaluated the patient. He found that he was lacking 5 degrees, and the prescription sent by the physician was to gain range of motion. So is 5 degrees, a lack of 5 degrees, actually non-functional? No, that's actually plenty of range of motion for function. And as I stated to Ms. Richardson, if in a few visits we weren't seeing an improvement in getting any more than the 5 degrees, there would be no reason to be super aggressive with gaining that. You know, the risk reward of that is not there. But early on, that was a goal to try to see if we could improve the extension. The concern, the bigger concern with that procedure is supination. Specifically, avoiding varus stress to the elbow, which I didn't do any of that, and or overly supinating to create posterior lateral rotation of that elbow. Extension in itself is not necessarily a contraindication. You obviously want to be careful with your vigor of getting it, but no, I would disagree with that. You, at the time frame I saw him, that I would not want to work on extension.
Okay, well, thank you, sir. I'll leave it to the PTs now.
Any other comments, questions? All right, we're about to go into a discussion. So, Mr. Giardina, either you or your attorney, would you like to make any last statement before we move into discussion?
I do not have any, unless Mr. Giardina wants to make a last statement.
Okay.
I would just say that, I've been practicing for a while. I've been a practicing therapist for 19 years and have developed a practice that, I focus a lot on manual work. So it's not something I just kind of spatter into my patient care here and there. Just the comments in terms of what was presented to you on the initial complaint, as well as what I've seen in the investigative report, is very atypical of how I practice. I own a PT clinic, so I hire PTs periodically. And one of the first things I try to discuss with them is establishing a trust with a patient before you attempt to do anything that's super aggressive, because you're going to tend to turn people away real quickly when you do that. And so that's just not my standard of practice. The elbow, I have a pretty good experience with dealing with the elbow, and just about every structure when it comes to a surgical repair within the elbow is fragile. It's not like dealing with some of the other joints, including the shoulder. So for me to be doing some of the manual things that he stated with the aggressiveness that was stated just is not how I practice. A lot of people would get hurt if that were the case. The only other thing too is from the investigative report too, when some of the questions Ms. Richardson asked me, I realized too that there's some things I needed to add into my documentation. One of the things we don't do within our practice is revolve patients between therapists a lot. And, after speaking with Ms. Richardson, I understand that while I'm the one reading my own notes and understanding what I'm saying and what I would be doing manually, I need to be a little bit more specific and some hand placements and descriptions within my manual techniques, so that if somebody else were to come into place and read my documentation, that that it's very clear. Another question she brought up was in reference to electric stem and placement and type of stem. And so I have the ability to make some adjustments within our documentation software, and have already put in more pop-down choices so that that information is required to be chosen when choosing electric stem as a modality. So as I've been watching this whole procedure all morning and trying to take a learning experience from this, there's some things that I need to improve upon with my documentation. And since speaking and getting some of those things sort of pointed out to me, I have been doing that and will continue to update the software, as I see that it needs to happen.
Thank you. Would SR like to make any statement? You don't need to, but would you like to?
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just, real layman terms, I don't understand a lot of what I'm listening to, but all I know is at 8 weeks, there's no way I could curl the weight of Mr. Giardina. He was lifting me off the chair and it was hurting me. I told him, he told me, stop making a fist. And I said, well, you're hurting me. And I believe he told me that at least two, maybe three times to stop making a fist, because I was in a lot of pain. And that's all. I mean, to me, it's kind of obvious. It's like, it hurt me. So.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Mr. Giardina, what was your response to Mr. R when he said he was in pain?
So that's where the discrepancy is between the patient and I. In the treatments that I was doing with him, at the time, the only information that I got of the thing that was hurting the most was when I would do the A-stim on him. Mm-hmm. I do remember telling him to relax his fist, because that's not an uncommon response anytime you go to extend somebody's elbow. But that's the difference in all of the documentation and his verbiage and my verbiage is I was not aggressively stretching him. Of the actions that I did manually that bothered him the most in terms of what he verbalized to me, the two previous treatments was the A-stim, in which that I reduced the pressure of that. But the only time in which the verbiage pop came into play was the last visit. He came in, he admitted that, well, he came in and he said, you know, I've been sore since the last visit. I said, okay, let's talk about that. In talking about it more, he admitted that there was an incident where he was drying off with a towel behind his back and felt a pop. And now that's, again, where there's a difference between when he says that happened, or he verbalized that he told me that his elbow has popped 1,000 times. So, I can only, that's where I can only tell you my side of the story, which is different from his side of the story in terms of how I was stretching him at each visit. And like I said, that just isn't, that isn't my protocol. That isn't my typical way of treating patients. It's early on in his therapy, early on in his recovery. I understand the anatomy. I understand how fragile that it is. It just isn't, to pull somebody off of a chair is a lot of force. I understand that. And that just didn't happen.
Okay, as far as I can see, and again, I'm a PTA. So if I were to go in and look at your note, let's say you may not use PTAs, I don't know. But let's say you do. I go in, it says E-stim applied, but location, intensity, and duration are not documented. That's not real good.
Did you say A-stim or E-stim?
E-stim.
E-stim. Correct. And that was brought up on within the investigative report. And that's what I was just mentioning, that I've already changed the documentation software to make that more specific.
Among other things, like your range of motion does not indicate passive versus active. Those things are pretty important for other people to know.
On the evaluation?
It says the objective elbow range of motion assessed, but does not include passive versus active range of motion. Indifield elbow joint movements is not documented, among other things.
Okay. Yeah. Is that in reference to the evaluation?
Do you have a date for what note you're talking about? The date?
I can tell you what page it's on.
Yeah.
This is the initial evaluation plan of care.
Right.
I believe the initial objective.
Excuse me, may I speak?
Yes, I'm sorry.
It's under objective.
The initial evaluation was done by a different therapist. So that is not Mr. Giardina's documentation.
So how did you follow his notes?
So when his first visit coming in, I assessed his range of motion the first time I saw him. And in my notes, you can see that the range of motion I'm doing is passive.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? I have a motion. Well, all right. Let me. I'll propose one. See where it goes. I move that we dismiss.
What's going on?
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Discussion.
Whoever is on the phone, if you can mute your mic, I would appreciate it.
When I send you an email, I'm gonna have to provide.
That's us. My wife's working at home. We're in real limited spot here. I don't know how to turn this sound off.
Okay. All right. No problem.
I'm sorry.
The motion before you is dismissed. It's been seconded. You're in discussion.
This is Josh. I struggle with the factual discrepancy between the way the patient describes the event and the way the PT describes the event. That's my struggle. I don't know if you guys can help me with that, but that's my struggle.
Anybody else want to try to answer? I don't think I can. I don't have a solution to that one. If we can deal with this current motion, and if there's another motion that somebody wants to propose, then that would be fine. All right. How about calling the question then?
So it's complaint 1939, Mr. Drew Gardenia, PT. The motion is to dismiss. Dr. Cornwall.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
No.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Clinton.
No.
Ms. Hunter.
No.
The motion fails.
All right, so I need another motion.
This is Mr. Greer. I moved forward this to an informal hearing.
I second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to move it to an informal hearing. Discussion on that motion.
There is an investigative report. Hang on a second. Okay, additional charges are actually sections for potential violations of law. I'd like to see in this motion, it's ARS 32-144-20, which includes R4-24-303, ARS 32-2044-14, and ethical principle 4.1.F. And ethical principle 4.1.G.
Okay. So basically all those in that section starting with page 3, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And page four.
Page four.
Yeah. So if I could just, since we talked about the ethical principle, the actual violation of law is 32-2044-12, failing to adhere to the recognized standards of ethics. Is that the allegations that you would like added?
Mute this for me so they don't.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. So, and we have a second on that, correct?
You do?
All right. Discussion on that motion. All right, I'll call the question.
So the motion before you for complaint 1939, Mr. Drew Gardenia, P. PT is to move this case to an informal hearing and to also include the additional allegations of ARS 2044-20, ARS, 32-2414, and ARS 32-2044-12. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
The motion passes.
All right.
This is Peggy once again. I'd like to also open up a complaint against Jeffrey Lace, PT.
And can you give me some context, please? As indicated on page 4?
Correct.
Is there a second?
Second.
You're in discussion.
Peggy, would you, are you asking the investigator to come up with possible violations?
I do. I think it's a little unfair to open up a complaint in Mr. Giardina for his documentation, et cetera, when he took over this patient from Jeffrey Lace, who did not have good documentation either.
I just want to make sure if you want to leave it up to them, or is there was a specific statute that you want them to look at?
On page 4, I outlined what I believe to be the allegations.
Okay.
All right, so 20.
Go ahead.
44-4 and 2044-20, correct?
Correct.
And R424-303.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Are you ready for the question?
Yes.
So the motion before you is open a complaint on Jeffrey Lace, PT, for allegations of 32-2044-4, 32-2044-20, R424-303. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
The motion passes.
All right, thank you. Mr. Giardina, if you have any questions, staff will be in contact, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right,
thank you
very much for being here.
All right.
All right, let's move to case number 19-64, Louis Bartlow. Louis, I think you're still here, right?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
And Mr. Bartlow, you're being represented by Mr. Bennett?
Yes, that's correct.
And is Mr. Bennett present?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's see. Let's have a brief overview.
Sure. Complaint 1964 was opened after review of complaint from an employee. The employee states that he was hired by Independence Rehab as a physical therapy technician, but had no supervision by Mr. Bartlow of the patient care he was providing to residents of Haven of Phoenix. The employee alleged that he was conducting and charting active and passive range of motion and bed mobility activities with no supervision. Investigative report was complete and additional allegations are noted for you in the investigative report. This case is for your review.
All right. Mr. Bartlow, would either you or your attorney like to make an opening statement?
Yes, Dr. Cornwell, members of the board, my name is Jamie Spinnett. I represent Mr. Bartlow. We thank you for your time today. And we appreciate your service. Mr. Bartlow has submitted a response to the complaint as well as a supplemental response to the investigative report. for your consideration, which outlines his response. He is a fairly new physical therapist. He received his license in 2017. I know, and I want you to know that he takes this very seriously. And instead of having me, an attorney, speak, Mr. Bartlow is here and available to answer any questions that the board might have for him. Thank you.
All right, so does anyone on the board have questions? Okay.
So Mr. Bartlow, can you possibly tell me why the gentleman that filed this complaint was working without any supervision?
To my understanding, he was initially hired as a PTA, but he did not work as a PTA. His position was changed to a restorative nursing aide. So he would not be supervised by physical therapy staff at all. His supervisor should have been with the nursing staff at Haven. I believe his supervisor would have been Rochelle.
So were these patients under skilled physical therapy?
Some of them were. Some of them were. It's their RNA program. So I'm not sure if all of them were receiving skilled therapy. I'm not sure who actually which ones we're seeing, which ones we're not seeing. I'm sure there is overlap between the therapy patients and the restorative patients as well.
So I'm sorry if I'm sounding a little confused. It's because I am. Okay. So if somebody is on skilled physical therapy, and because I had this happen to me when I was working at one point, I'm wondering if it's the same. Through the week, these patients were on skilled physical therapy, and on the weekend, they went to restorative therapy to where aides treated them. And then on Monday, they went back to skilled, which didn't seem right. Is this the same sort of thing?
No, so we have separate frequencies. The therapy care that they're receiving is based on the frequencies outlined in my evaluation. Mm-hmm. The restorative program is a separate entity.
Okay.
It is confusing. The restorative aides are being hired by Independence Rehab, but they're working as restorative nursing aides. They're not working as PTAs. They're not working as PTAs. They're unrelated to the therapy care you're receiving.
Okay, I think I'll let somebody else ask you a few questions, and then I'll be back.
Okay.
So this is Karen Bustillo. Is the restorative aides, is what they do with the patients, is that billed?
I'm not sure. I know it's not billed through Optima, the software that we use, but I don't know the extent to which it's documented and billed for through the nursing software.
Okay. This is Mindy. It is billed, but it's not billed under physical therapy codes. Okay. It's billed as part of an RNA program.
Thank you. Can you maybe shed some light as to why Mr. Patel felt that this was a problem in this facility?
I think that when he was hired, I had nothing to do with him being hired, and I had nothing to do with him being trained. But I think when he was hired, this program was just rolling out, and I think there were a lot of concerns. I don't know necessarily who Mr. Patel went to for answers initially. I don't know, but ultimately he filed the complaint with the board.
So just so I understand, this is Peggy again. So none of these people were under the supervision of were not under the care of a physical therapist. They were not under skilled physical therapy.
They may have been under my care, but again, it was the care that they received from the restorative nursing aide was not within my plan of care for them. It was a separate entity.
So they were off of skilled physical therapy?
Well, at the time that they were receiving services, not necessarily. They may have been at the same time.
So you can go to skilled physical therapy and then go to restorative with no change of status or et cetera?
So they may have been seen by the physical therapy staff, and then typically the RNA will go to the patient's room daily. I think it's, I don't want to tell you the wrong frequency. I don't know how often, but and then they do additional, I don't know, whatever services they are providing, bed mobility or range of motion, passive range of motion.
And where do they document that in the chart?
I think it's in the point click care software, but I don't see it.
Okay.
I can confirm it is in the nursing point of care documentation.
Okay.
They do not document in the physical therapy point of care.
Okay, that's where I was kind of getting to. Thank you.
I will also note to the board, I received it late. It wasn't in time for your materials, but the director of the program, Randy Labario, he, at the time that I interviewed him, I asked him why the name, it seemed to be an issue that the name badges were indicating that they were therapy technicians. He has since sent me a copy of the name badges have been changed to reflect that their role is an RNA.
Yeah, that could be confusing to patients, et cetera.
I think it was confusing to the person that complained as well.
Correct.
As well.
Okay, thank you for that explanation.
Sure.
Well, to just confirm that you have no communication on a regular basis with the people performing the RNA treatments?
I see them throughout the day in the building. I've only met with, I think I've only seen Mr. Patel a couple times while he was employed, but.
In your role as a physical therapist in the clinic, you don't communicate with them with anything that relates to the physical therapy aspect of patient care?
No.
So, Ms. Burlock, there's other things in the investigative report about their patient RF. At least 36 treatments were provided, and you did not perform a reassessment throughout this episode of care. Can you explain that, please?
Sure. Sorry. So I did work with this patient a number of times throughout his stay. I think it was 10 or 11 sessions. And as part of our you know, normal practice, we do reassessments every time we're with the patient. We are obviously, in order to treat them, we do need to assess them every visit.
Did you document a reassessment?
A formal reassessment. All I have is available to it would be the daily treatment encounter. So, I would say no.
Because there was also a PTA treating this particular patient as well.
Correct.
So do you know how often you as a PT are supposed to reassess the patient when a PTA is providing treatment under your supervision?
Oh, from what I understand, under general supervision, it's every fourth session. Under direct supervision, where the PT is present, it's every 10th visit.
So did you document that again?
On my supervisory visits, yes.
All right, thank you.
Can you Please tell me about your discussions with the PTA and how you would go about updating plans of care. There does seem to be some evidence that the PTA is actually making changes to the plans of care and updating treatment goals and things like that. Can you address that?
Sure. So we do have weekly rehab meetings, but I'm also there every day, so we have daily discussions as well. I do rely on my PTAs to document objective findings that we use, and you know, and as far as updating the plan of care, I see that more as, you know, they're objectively documenting where the patient is at functionally, and if they've achieved the goal, then they upgrade the goal, and then I review it, and I either accept that or I decline it, and then we sign it from there.
I'm a PTA, and we're not allowed to change the plan of care or even identify that goals have been made. So why were you allowing the PTA to do this?
I was under the impression that because of the PTA licensure that they were able to document objective findings.
You can document direct findings, but in the documentation, I'm not allowed to say goals were met.
Okay.
Any other comments, questions? Do we have a motion?
Do you want Mr. Bartlow or his lawyer to do any kind of closing statement?
I think that would be appropriate. So either one of you can have a statement.
Dr. Cornwall and the board, thank you again for your time. As you can see, Mr. Bartlow didn't have any involvement with the restorative nursing program at this facility. That was separate and apart from his physical therapy and treatment of his patients. As to the issue with PTAs, Mr. Bartlow, I believe understands where the board is coming from. He is there every day. This is in fact direct supervision in this skilled nursing facility. And he does frequently on a daily basis talk with the PTAs, discuss the PTAs. He is aware of what the PTAs, aware of what the patient's goals are. And if the patient meets that goals, he does sign off on those goals as well, or he does not. But it is ultimately in his discretion as the physical therapist there. We appreciate your time. And Mr. Bartlow would be happy to answer any other further questions you may have.
All right. So how about a motion or a discussion? You'd rather do discussion first?
I think, this is Karen Bustillo. I think it's pretty evident that Mr. Bartlow really did not have any, contact or concern with the RNA program or how that impacted anything to do with the PT. Portion of the patients that he was seeing. I am seeing significant issues with the PT-PTA relationship and his understanding of supervision and delegation on a fairly regular basis. And so I do feel like that does need to be addressed.
I agree with that, Karen.
Do you think that that's an issue more of poor documentation, or do you think it wasn't done?
I feel like the PTA was making decisions that the PTA should not have been making and just agreed upon later on by the PT instead of the PT making the decisions and having the PTA follow through.
Okay. All right, any other comments? Do you want to, we have, this is the initial review, we can move it to an informal or a formal, or we can offer a consent or non-disciplinary. I think those are our four choices.
I don't know about the other board members, but I'm having forwarding this to an informal hearing.
Would you want to make that a motion?
I can. My recommendation is to forward this to an informal hearing. I guess we have to do final, et cetera.
No. But you want to
forward? We do have to add, though. We do have to add.
Correct.
Do we have a second on the motion for informal?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we do need that.
Second.
Thank you.
So, do you want, what do you want to include in that? So,
mine is mostly about the documentation and the supervision of the physical therapist assistants. I don't believe the initial complaint about the restorative plan and PT. I don't believe that. I think somebody was a little confused on that, but I can see how that could happen when the badges they're wearing indicate they're from physical therapy.
Mm-hmm. So would it be fair to say that you'd like to include 2044-20, 2044-20?
Let me get to that if you don't mind.
And 2044-6.
Six, yes. I agree with all those.
Yeah,
12 as well.
Yeah, well, I don't think 12 is appropriate, but and I'm willing to.
I'm asking.
Did we mention ARS 3220-2420? Did we mention that?
Yes.
The ones I have are 4, engaging in the performance of substandard care, 6, failing to supervise the personnel, and 20, failing to maintain adequate patient records.
Agreed.
I'm going to interrupt you for just a second. Karen, could you please put yourself on mute? We get this real big buzz, and it looks like it's coming from you.
Sure.
I just want to see. Oh, it is. It is you. So just come back.
Oh, no.
Just come back in and out on your mic if you don't mind. Okay, so we have a motion that's been seconded for an informal hearing with the additional allegations of 3220-4420, without the allegations moving forward of 3220-4412, which is the ethics.
Yeah.
You are in discussion.
Can I just, I just want to make sure the board was aware, because it was at the bottom of the page on the additional allegations, ARS 3220-4413. You are not planning to include that?
I was not. Okay. But if other has a different opinion, I'm willing to hear it.
No, I wasn't planning on that.
Okay. I just want to make sure that you're aware, because it was at the bottom of the page.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? So let's call the question.
So the motion before you is for complaint 1964, Mr. Lewis Bartow, PT, to move this complaint to an informal hearing. Dr. Cornwell.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Clinton.
Yes.
Ms. Hunter.
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. And board staff will be in contact with you if you have questions.
Okay. Thank you for your time, everyone.
You're welcome.
This is Peggy. I think that it's relevant to open a investigative report on Maria Calderon PTA and Arlene Phillips PTA.
Second.
And also,
Ms. Hunter, can you tell me where you're getting those names?
Page six.
Page six, okay.
And also, I don't believe that.
Make that a separate motion. If you're going to go after the CODA?
Yes.
Make a separate motion.
Yes, because that's a referral.
Okay.
So your motion is to open, and can you please provide me the name of the PTA again?
Sure. Let me, I have two computers going here. Sorry.
Maria.
Maria Calderon, C-A-L-D-E-R-I-N, PTA.
And for what allegations for Ms. Calderon?
For engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist assistant, et cetera.
No, what's et cetera?
32, 20, 44, 5.
Is there any other allegation that you would like to add?
No. Arlene.
There might be others that would come up after investigation.
Correct. Sure.
Correct.
And the other PTA is Arlene Phillips PTA, also 32, 20, 44, 5.
Is there a second?
Would you like to include 20, 44, 13?
That does include 32, 20, 44, 13. Sorry, I'm trying to look between two computers.
I understand on both. On both PTAs? Ms. Phillips and Calderon?
No.
Which one? Then would you like?
Arlene Phillips. That's the one the investigative report has identified. Is that correct, Ms. Richardson?
Correct. Just for clarity, Maria Calderon, PTA, I identified ARS 32-20-44-5. That was the only allegation so far. And then Arlene correct. Phillips, PTA, ARS 32-20-44-5 and 32-24-13.
Correct. Thank you.
Is there a second?
Second.
Yeah.
So it's been moved and second to open a complaint on Maria Calderon PTA and Arlene Phillips PTA, Ms. Calderon for potential violations of ARS 32-20-44-5. Ms. Phillips, potential allegations of ARS 20-44-5 and 20-44-13. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
And the motion passes.
I also feel we should forward a complaint to the Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy on Randy Libero, OT, Director of Rehab.
I can tell you, Hunter, that when we received the complaint, we did forward Mr. Libero to the OT board. So I don't have any update on that because I don't get those, but that complaint was already moved.
And right, what so about in the investigative report about the board may wish to consider forwarding a complaint to the Board of Nursing related to Haven of Phoenix, lack of oversight for the restorative nursing program.
My concern is that if we don't identify a particular nurse like we would have to for a physical therapist, that I don't know if they manage facilities or not. I don't know the nursing board rules and regulations.
Okay, I think the fact that they have the badges on was very confusing, but if they've changed that, then I withdraw that request. Thank you.
So we have concluded all matters related to this case?
I think so.
Okay. Thank you very much, everyone who participated.
All right, we're on, do we need to stop the recording?
Yes, let's stop the recording. Does anybody need a break?
I'm good.
I'm good.